I have said this a few times that with certain passages I can write a book. This one certainly is one of them. And you probably are very aware of this story and also abusive interpretation of this very passage, which gave birth to mistreating of the females in the Western history or Christian communities. But interesting thing is that this story is written when? And in what language for the first time? I'm pretty sure it's not English, it's not Latin, not Greek, probably not even Hebrew, when this story was very first time written in human language. We don't even know how old this story could be. So what I'm trying to tell you in a way is that each stage, each community, and each religious groups somehow gave into their own understanding of this story, reflecting upon the community, society, where they were living. For instance, the very negative interpretation happened beginning with St. Paul and kind of confirmed with Augustine. If you're thinking of them, they were living in the world that was Hellenized, meaning the Greek culture, Greek philosophy was dominating the whole world or Western part of the world. And you know that in Greek culture that male is superior than female. There is kind of embedded understanding or perception that. So, but just to tell you that, there are many other ways of understanding this story, of which I cannot really share with you today. But there are many other, not just the Christian understanding. But one thing that kind of caught my curiosity reading this one again is that the very ending saying, "Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother, clings to his wife, and become one flesh." It definitely sounds like it's not about the first male and first female. It's talking about marriage and living parents. So whenever it is, when the first time this story was written, they already have community of humans and mom and dad and children living. So I'm just bringing your attention to one thing is that we often kind of mistake in reading and interpreting scripture in a way that we try to see it the way it makes sense to us. And when it goes wrong ways, we try to see it the way that only make sense to us and exclude any other ways. But what would be the case if you see this book, if you see this book as kind of communication that your Creator is giving to our first ancestors to pass on to their generation to generation? And if that Creator's essence is love, and the Creator wants us to be loved and to love one another. And if you see that angle, then interpretation such as like females are inferior because of this or that. And it also, this story follows into the story of the fall, and that also kind of gave very bad mark on whole female population in the Christian world for a long time. So how do we see it in a different way? There's only one thing I can share today with you is, in essence, God created us to be happy. And that's the way I prefer to see. And God created us in the image and likeness of love. Because God is love, we're created in such an image and likeness. And what does this concept or feeling, sensation, when we talk about you're happy? When you're happy, how do you feel?
Connected.
Connected?
Loved.
Light.
Light.
Optimistic. Is there any?
Hope.
Hopeful.
Appreciated.
Appreciated. right? See, just in here, aren't we complicated and complex beings? It's not just the one thing that could make you happy. It's a mixture of things that suddenly create a condition or state of being that suddenly kind of comes into your heart like, oh, what is this? And I'm happy. I'm delighted. God created us to have that. And this story kind of reflects upon this double-edged sword that God had to allow us to have, according to Swedenborg. Now, God wanted us to be happy, but if your happiness is all created by somebody else, would you be really happy? Like the Truman Show? Your life is totally artificially engineered in a perfectly created, controlled, managed society. Are you really happy in there? Not really. Somehow, in human spirit, human soul, deep in yourself, you have this that it has to be worked by me. I have to somehow gain it by myself. Then you feel really good. But if it is given to you, and there's a word for it, you take it as granted. And anything that we take as granted, do they essentially, fundamentally give us this inner delight and joy, fulfillment? We all know they don't. So God had to give us this ability to actually, realistically cultivate joy and delight, and to even claim that as mine. That's this Eve. That this being was created from the rib that protects the heart and became a full-figured human. And to the man, that was the delight to see. My bone of bone and flesh of flesh. This is a great gift that we can actually cultivate a delight, inner joy, fulfillment. But at the same time, that could make us to be away from God. That very thing. Because if we trap ourselves in it and now claim that this is mine, and God has nothing to do with it. I created it. I am getting 100% credit for this. And then that somehow shuts the connection, the communication, the inflow that is from God to us. This is a very, very, very short version of this story that I'd love to share with you today. So for you to continue to think about creation of Eve, that's my version, but what's yours? And I encourage all of you to think for and by yourself in reading this story. And if you believe that God is really love and gave this story for us to love and to be loved, and free from all this other dogmatic, philosophically backgrounded or culturally backgrounded or fundamentally backgrounded interpretations that is handed down to you. And be free from all that. Just reflect upon the story and see it's not about man, woman, male, female. It is about us, all of us, our relationship with our Creator. It's about the gift that God gives humanity to really feel alive. There's a saying that, especially these affluent, wealthy nations, there's among the late teens and young 20s, this young generation are seeking for something that makes them feel alive. Somehow their life is not feeling alive. Why? They're saying it lacks spark. It lacks juicy things. I don't really know exactly what that is right now, but I'm pretty sure I knew that when I was 19. And that's something, that's the thing, that the delight, fulfillment, inner joy, that you know that you have something, you have done something about it to have, versus it is all just given to you. So, what's your inner joy that you're seeking? For your spiritual cultivation, if you follow that, you may see a piece of your true self. And there's no guarantee you'll like it. You may like it, you may not like it. It happened to me more so in that way that I didn't like it. I had to confess to God that, God, I don't like what I see in me. Help me. Then, in my experience, God helped. And I'm sure it'll happen to you too. So, may there be blessings upon your journey, your seeking and finding, and your believing, accepting, and being humble before God. Amen.